What the EFL? It's the Football League podcast, relieved that Morecambe's future has been secured. Coming up, Birmingham, Blackburn, Derby and Coventry. We're here to make snap judgments on you. There's weekend previews, midweek musings, plus all the usual nonsense, including Barrow's admin firing virtual shots. Powered by Quinbet, this is What the EFL. And we're here again to round up and look ahead to all the action in the Football League. It is me, Matt Davis Adams. I'm joined by returning Sam Parkin, fresh from Warsaw.
Oh, he fancies it today, does he?
And he fancies it after being in Warsaw until the wee hours of the morning.
That is
quite
true.
A comeback.
Yeah.
Hey, you know my trips to the south of France are business and pleasure. It was checking in with a family member as well, let's not forget.
Your trip to Warsaw, was that business and pleasure?
That was both, of course. Lovely Nando's, pretty much, as per. But yeah, when I was running down the coastal path last week, listening to you two Wallies, talking about the opening day of the championship with a wry smile. No, I took it in good spirit, but yeah, a little bit odd. A little bit peculiar being away first week of the season, championship season, but I switched off all the same and thoroughly enjoyed your workings, chaps.
Thank you. Adrian Clark's back with us too. You all right, Clarky?
Yeah, fine. Yeah. Delighted that Sam is back on board. Not so much heavy lifting today, hopefully.
Takes the strain off, certainly. All right, before we get going, let me remind you that our partners, Quinbet, have a new offer for you. You can now get 50% back up to £25. If your account has sportsbook losses at the end of your first day's betting, Quinbet will refund 50% of your losses as a free bet up to £25, minimum three bets. Even if your account's up, you're guaranteed a £5 free bet, provided you place at least one bet of £10 or greater at the minimum odds. T's and C's apply. It's 18 plus and for new UK customers only. Visit gambleaware.org for information on responsible gambling. Let's get going then and start with some championship chat. It's a bit of a change to your regularly scheduled podcast today. We're going to have a chat about the championship teams that the chaps saw live this weekend, and then we'll rush to judgment as to how their start will shape their season. We'll start with you, Clarky. You were at Blackburn versus Birmingham. Watched Blackburn snatch defeat from the jaws of victory as the Blues scored two very late goals to claim their first win back in Tier 2. Now, I don't know if you're an XG guy or not particularly, but I saw that it was 2.05 to Birmingham and 0.36 for Rovers. So that would suggest that even though it took them a while to get it done, it was a deserved victory.
It was a deserved victory. I do think that sometimes XG can be a bit misleading. And even though Birmingham had a lot of the play, you know, they didn't create that much until late on. And obviously a penalty slants the XG quite dramatically. So yeah, look, first up, it took forever to get to Blackburn. Goodness me. That was a trek going through some Lancashire villages en route. But yeah, when I got there, it was a really bad first half. Pretty much nothing happened, certainly from a Blackburn point of view. See, my overriding feeling about Rovers is that they can defend, definitely. I think that the centre-back unit of McLaughlin and Higham was really strong. I thought that McLaughlin in particular was good. Nothing wrong with the goalkeeper as well. Tots looked okay. And as a unit without the ball, they weren't bad at all, Blackburn Rovers. But in possession, they really do lack a little bit of sort of punch and speed. And really found it hard to penetrate a Birmingham side that weren't really anywhere near their best. So I would say, apart from Cargbo, little right winger who they've signed this summer, he's pretty nippy. Apart from that, it didn't really stretch the opposition very much at all. Ahashi up front is a good player, we know that, but he's not really going to run in and beyond and stretch opponents, maybe like a Jace Stansfield can for Birmingham. The highlight.
Were you surprised to see them both starting together, by the way? Because I watched them in pre-season and Stansfield started and then Kyogo came on. But was Stansfield like a little bit further behind Kyogo and he's the main?
Yeah, I'd say yes, he was. I think without the ball, it was like a front two. So they go and press high and sort of work together. And then in the build-up phase, Stansfield's kind of got more of a free role. I think it works well, and I think they'll both score lots of goals. Kyogo didn't do very much in the game. Stansfield, for me, elevated Birmingham in a way that actually none of their players could do with his hard work and his movement. He just makes things happen by carrying the ball or making a run down a channel. So yeah, he was a difference maker. And just very quickly, Cantwell scored a brilliant volley, superb technician, but of course he lacks a bit of mobility. And I think overall, Blackburn, my overriding feeling is that it's going to be a struggle for them this season. So not so for Birmingham. Yeah, they came on strong and it was a sensational winning goal. Absolutely brilliant. Blackburn went for the winner. So it's one apiece and Rovers has a corner. Everyone's pretty much gone up for it. It's a shocking corner and they break at pace and there's an unbelievable pass from Iwata to release Damari Gray and he's away and he runs the whole length of the pitch, squares it for Lyndon Dykes, who must have made up an awful lot of ground to get there. So it was a sensational winner in front of 7,000 away fans, which was nuts. Absolute carnage in the away end. So yeah, for Birmingham, they're absolutely going to be there or thereabouts. Observations, the two centre halves, I really like them. Clara, obviously, we know, and Neumann, classy on the ball, will take risks, but they're really assertive defenders. The midfield duo, you might not get a better one than these two across the division. Pake and Iwata, absolutely outstanding. Peck is a little bit more of a flair player. Iwata's a real grafter. And they just complement one another superbly. One last thing, Damari Gray made that winner. What we saw from them tactically was basically he, when the play's on the left, he comes in to be a number 10 and Asai Samuel flies on the outside on the right. So he's the one that offers the width. It was a bit unusual to see Damari Gray sort of infield, but it kind of worked for Birmingham, who that it feels like a big win, doesn't it? So yeah, no, it was a thrilling finish to what had been a fairly average game, I've got to say.
Yeah, just two things that you've covered a little bit, but I tend to agree with you, Matt. It kind of reminded me of Alfie May and Stansfield last season. Yeah. And I think against some teams, especially teams that are probably well-structured, akin to Blackburn, you might need a bit more craft, a bit more of a passer in the 10 position. So something to keep an eye on. And I think a lot of the conversation for Birmingham fans has centred around that. And I heard a little bit of Dance and Adrian's commentary, I think last night when I was in the car or in the last 24 hours, and Dance referred to the limbs in the away end. Is there any better way to create limbs than that type of sweeping counter attack? I think if someone scores a worldie from 30 yards,
yeah,
you probably don't get that. It's even the lunge,
yeah,
Lyndon Dykes, you know what I mean? Is someone going to get the toe? It's in the far corner. I mean, that explosion, it had so many ingredients for that to explode in the away end.
It was perfect. It was perfect. I'm not a Birmingham fan, even I was punching the air because I think I had no skin in the game at all, but it was like a brilliant moment. In fairness to Dance, who we know is a massive Birmingham fan, kept it together. Didn't jump out of his seat or anything. He was a proper pro. But no, you're right. And I think Birmingham will add that creator. But they are two goal scorers in Stansfield and Kyogo, and having two goal scorers is better than having one.
Yeah, it's horses for horses, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
It's the type of opponent. And against the teams that are going to be down the lower reaches, you play your two centre forwards.
But very quickly, that's partly the reason why Gray, I think, came in field into that 10 spot when they had the ball, so that they've got someone that can unlock the door there. So he kind of joins in as that 10 because they know that they lack one, you know. Peck can create, but he's not got amazing guile. So I expect them to pick up someone in that position.
All right, link with Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, the host, Oxford, on Saturday. Blackburn going to Hull in one of the early kickoffs. Sam was all over the goal fest between Derby and Coventry at Pride Park. Cov eventually won 5-3. Derby 0-2 in the league. Per the BBC, Sam, see if this marries with what you saw. A visible dip in energy coincided with Coventry's ruthless 7-minute spell in which Derby's defence was beaten for pace, beaten in the air, and too slow to close down in dangerous areas.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that. I'm going to go. I know you two bemoan my lack of hot takes. I'm not sure this is going to get any headlines, but I saw two games live in the last few days, or three games live, but two EFL games. One with 8 goals that we're about to talk about, and one with 1 goal last night at Walsall. I would say that was probably a better game at Walsall last night. I mean, how crazy does that sound? Yeah, this game was littered with mistakes. No surprise, really, if we kind of think back to the tail end of last season, Coventry in particular, Derby over the course of last season, 6 out of the 8 goals, set pieces, long throws. So no kind of change in that regard. They're going to be front runners in those departments. Let's start with the victors, shall we? Coventry. Yeah, defensively, unusually not particularly good. That relationship between Kitching and Thomas, obviously a lot of speculation about Bobby Thomas's future and the lack of options there, really. So they've been very stable. I think 5 out of the last 6 league games at home have been clean sheets. So that's something that Frank Lampard has improved no end. So the goalkeeper wasn't particularly good either. Carl Rushworth, I think he was at fault maybe and certainly flapped at quite a lot of those deliveries that Derby sourced the box with. So food for thought in that department. The positives, Victor Torp was the best player on the pitch, thoroughly deserved getting the final goal. He kick-started actually with a delivery which led to the peculiar opener from Bobby Thomas. Mason Clark, big season for him, I think. Second full season in the Championship. He was electric, scored a brilliant, or finished off a brilliant team move for an important goal in the second half. And I just think, in a general sense, not having the over-reliance on Radoni was kind of one of my biggest takeaways, because I think they've been pretty one-dimensional towards the tail end of the year when they were struggling to break teams down, struggling to score. Radoni is the player who has the freedom to go and get on the ball and get them up the pitch, but also when the ball goes wide, he is the target in the 18-yard box for all those deliveries they put in. So I think to get goals from different places, front players not particularly at it, right, Thomas Asante, but they got themselves goals and up and running for the season. So they deserve to win, Coventry. I think they had 20 shots. So that tells a story. For Derby, I think there's quite a few ingredients that go into it. So I'll be brief. I think they haven't been helped by having probably 3 of the back 5 unavailable. Nelson, obviously long-term from last season, Langas and Owen Beck, probably the left wing back. So you're a bit patched up there. And the lack of pace that you referenced, yeah, that was evident with Clark, who's a lovely player, always enjoyed Clark, but Danny Barth and Deion Sanderson, not brilliant mobility, and obviously problematic that John Eustace hasn't really had his first defensive lineup available, so different permutations. It feels to me as if they're trying to play a little bit more, hence conceding 5 goals, bit open. Ibu Adams in that higher role, which Clarkey referenced last week, and in terms of turning the ball over in dangerous areas, brilliant idea. And it allows you to have better quality in the deep part of the midfield with Ozo, who we know is a lovely player from Palace, and Liam Thompson, who actually did really well at the weekend, but he's a bit lightweight. Ozo's a bit short of match fitness because he's had a long injury, and they just looked a little bit flimsy and a bit open, Derby. And I think that maybe at this stage of the season, it's John Eustace just trying to implement slightly different style of play. I'm not saying it's going to be total football, but we know when he got his feet under the table there, we know what his strength has been as a manager, setting up the team without the ball, set pieces, hard to beat. So I think that probably added to their woes at the weekend. So it's difficult because I think there's a few injuries and they're chipping goals. So ahead of a game where you strongly fancy, I think it's home to Bristol City, isn't it, at the weekend?
Friday night, yeah.
All of a sudden, a bit of pressure, people questioning maybe some of his decisions at the start of the season. So do they revert to type or do we get another open game at Pride Park? I would suggest they'll be fine in time. It's just going to take new players and some players to get off the treatment table to aid their chances.
Speaking of new players, they are in competition with Bologna for Max Johnston, Scottish defender currently playing at Sturm Graz in Austria. So yeah, Derby at home to Bristol City on Friday. Cov will play host to Queen's Park Rangers on Saturday. All right, we'll come back to the Championship later. Next today, though, we'll talk some midweek action. And a busy one it was in Leagues 1 and 2. Adrian, you wanted to mention your old pals at Stevenage. What a late turnaround for them at Vale Park. And what a start to the season.
Unbelievable. Yeah, absolutely brilliant to see Stevenage top of League 1. 4 from 4. Chuffed for Alex Revelle. Obviously, he was a manager initially there. got biffed off for Steve Evans. And when he deserted the club, he stepped up and really, you know, they're looking pretty good at the moment. There's a lovely balance about, obviously, Jamie Reid is the star of the show at the moment, 5 goals this season. But it shouldn't be sniffed at that. As a team, Stevenage are creating quality chances. They're creating 9 big chances, according to Opta, already this season. That's the second highest behind Bradford. And you wouldn't have had those two at the top of your bingo card for most big chances created, would you, early on this season? So well done to them. I really like the balance of the team. Good centre-half partnership with Goud and Pierre Gianni, Butler and Wilding, 2 experienced fullbacks. Kemp, Dan Kemp in behind Reid. Nice little midfield of Jordan Houghton and Harvey White as well. Nice balance there, sort of ball winning and distribution. So, look, they're not going to win any prizes, are they, for sort of beauty? You know, they'll go quite direct. It's probably not sustainable in terms of getting these wins, but they are a team and they will fight for each other and they're well organised and they tick so many boxes in terms of being tough to beat and resilient and having that spirit you need. So well done, Stevenage. You know, I think they're going to be absolutely fine this year. I still think if they get anywhere near the playoffs, it'll be a roaring success. But so far, so good. Yeah, they've got something about them.
Yeah, completely agree. I think top half would be an achievement, but they could go better than that. And to give you the most simplistic bit of analysis I'll ever do, look at the 11 and look at the substitute options. This is a really good starting team with vast experience. And Clarkey touched on some of the additions. Jordan Houghton at the base of the midfield. That's a really clever pickup. I spoke to a Stevenage supporter the other day and he said Phoenix Patterson on the wings, really good fun as well. So obviously, you know, naturally in forward areas, you're given a little bit more license. Dan Kemp's not going to give you bundles without the ball, but my goodness me, he can open up an opposition's defence. No-nonsense centre-halves. So maybe it's not going to be a flash in the pan, because I like what they've done in terms of the signings. And look, 4 from 4 is not to be sniffed at. I don't think I ever did that in my career off the bat. That's some going to start the season and an eye-catching result last night.
Yeah, well done, Stevenage, and well done, Clarkey, as well. I think we all noticed our little low-key dig at Steve Evans that you managed to squeeze in there. So you can tick that off your What the AFL bingo card, listener. Speaking of 4 from 4, goodness me, Tom Cleverley could do with the result when Plymouth host Blackpool this weekend because Argyle have lost all 4 games so far on their return to League One, beaten 1-0 at home by Orient on Tuesday. There was also a big win for Huddersfield at home to Doncaster, 2-0 after their first defeat of the season at Blackpool on Saturday. Northampton have now lost 3 of 4 in the league, only scoring 1 goal in that time. Sam, as we said, you were at the Bescot Stadium, so we didn't have to be. You saw Grimsby beat Walsall by 1-0. Sounds like it was an entertaining fixture, I'll confess. I managed to get it on for 5 minutes. Said to my wife, "Oh, that's Sam on co-commentary." She said, "That's nice. We're still not watching Walsall v Grimsby, though." And you have to say that's fair enough.
Brilliant.
You should have done. It was terrific. Really good game. Perfect advert for League Two football. That's why I was churning out at full time to everyone that was in my vicinity. 2 really good teams. I'll start with the victors. They're well worth a watch, Clarkey, if you've not seen them. During my prep, I was well-versed that they've got this kind of 2-3-5 formation, which is surprising me even now saying it. When we're talking about League Two. So you've got 2 centre-halves, very comfortable on the ball. You've got George McEachran, who me and Matt have commentated on for the best part of a decade already. He's
loved at Grimsby, isn't he?
Really, I think he was the player of the year last season. Technically very efficient, like his older brother, Josh. So he takes the ball and he's joined in midfield by the 2 fullbacks. Which is quite unique. And then you've 2 advanced midfielders who join in with the front three. So you've got a 2-3-5.
Do you know who did that at the weekend as well? Man City.
There you go.
Man City. Yeah. So, yeah. Man City and Grimsby, plenty in common.
Yeah. And I think what it required from my eyes last night is 2 technically good central defenders. Obviously, your anchor in McEachran, but my goodness me, the 2 8s. And he's got good options there, David Artell, because he has Jamie Walker as well, who had a good season, good impact at Bradford last year and been a good player for a number of years. He's one of his options there. And then a lad I wasn't too familiar with, Evan Corey, who scores the winning goal last night, bundle of energy, bit of guile, left foot, and he's joined in central midfield, the two advanced midfielders, by Kieran Green, the captain, who was superhuman last night. And he started, I think, the season with 2 assists, a goal, and he's been brought down for two penalties. They are up and down, but no short amount of quality either. These are two really good players, two good wide players in Vernon and Burns. And, oh, I forgot about him for a second, Cabia, the centre forward. I mean, this is... he reminds me of El Hamadi in profile, but the stature, the movement on the shoulder, playing for Truro last season, which I believe was not full time. So he's come into full time football. He's already got 3, electric for an hour last night on the shoulder. So Green and Corey look to just slide him as soon as they get the ball. McEachran at times as well, not averse to going long down the sides to try and release him. He's going to be a top player in League Two this season. I really like the look of him. And yeah, an excellent all-round team who probably shaded it and have had an incredible start to the season. So I'm talking playoffs for them, minimum, on that evidence. And Walsall, quite a costly night for them because they've lost 2 players to injury, 2 new signings. Stuttle, centre-forward from Bournemouth, Loney, kind of the... in the Nathan Lowe kind of profile in terms of mobile, getting around the pitch, playing with the big man Aaron Presley. And probably the most impressive player on the night for the home side was Hancock, who's the Liam Gordon replacement at left wing back. Lovely delivery, looked to play forward all the time, athletic, nasty injury he picked up early part of the second half. So those two probably going to be missing for a while. So quite a costly evening in that regard, but I think the Walsall fans stayed with the team, same shape, same setup, and they look like they've cherry picked some really astute signings to go into those positions vacated by the guys that did so well last season. So it was a good display from the home side that lacked probably the cohesion of Grimsby because they're 12 months further on with this group of players. And the one problem for Matt Sadler this morning is that he's another striker light. So they need probably 2 front players. They desperately need pace in the side. So I think a defining 10 days or whatever we are now before the window closes, because he needs a little bit of help. But early signs, done some good business. And I think Walsall are going to be fine, but I'm not sure it's going to be a season akin to what we saw last year.
Tricky one for him as well after what happened at the end of last term, of course. Elsewhere, big win for Gillingham, 4-1 against Chesterfield. Well done to Barnett as well. First victory for them back in the EFL thanks to 2 late goals at Swindon. And Clarkie, you wanted to talk about Crewe. We're going to talk about Fleetwood, who they demolished later, but it was the Railwomen who caught your eye.
Yeah, well, I think they deserve a mention, a little bit like Stevenage. You know, perfect start for Crewe as well. Absolutely flying. And yeah, a little bit sort of like Grimsby, I suppose, just a group that's improving and going to be, I think, significantly better than they were last season. The 4-1 win against Fleetwood, it avenges a 4-1 loss to the same team the last time they met in March. So that was quite significant as well. There's some brilliant moments in this. It's a lovely goal from 19-year-old Callum Agus. He's got 2 already. He's a left winger. Curls one into the top corner. Absolute beauty. There's a goal by Josh March, who they signed from Harrogate, striker, who's got 4 assists already this season, by the way. Unbelievable. You know, Elliot Anderson, you all know this, Matt. Elliot Anderson's through ball for Forest.
Best pass of the weekend, yes.
Yeah. Joint best with one from Owen Lunt. An amazing through ball for Josh March in the game, and he chipped the goalkeeper in style. So really, really nice from him. I do think they're conceding more chances than they're giving away. Like, I think the XG says they should have conceded more than 4 goals and they've let in 2. But look, they're scoring goals and yeah, it's been a very, very positive start to the season for Crewe. Well done.
Apologies, because the last 12 hours of my life has been a bit hazy, but I think one of the goal scorers looked to be celebrating with a family member when I saw the goals for
really?
Last. So I really do hope that was his dad, one of the ones that was bent in. And even
though it was Agus, yeah, the youngster, yeah.
So I do hope that was a family member. But even more impressively, they lost 5 of the last 6 games last season. I remember the manager being really displeased towards the tail end of last season for obvious reasons. So to start in this manner, probably taking everyone by surprise. And again, some going to start with maximum points. So
yeah, well, of course, yeah, Dave Artell, Grimsby, it was former crew, wasn't he, as well? So yeah, Lee Bell, been there a while now, hasn't he? But yeah, he's getting the tune out of him, which is good.
And just in case, listener, like me, your ears pricked up when you heard the name Owen Lunt. I've just Googled it. He's Kenny Lunt's nephew, obviously crew royalty.
Tremendous.
Right, let's get to some previews next, shall we? And we're back in the Championship, where Liam Manning and Rob Edwards have both enjoyed good starts in their respective hot seats. The pair meet at Carrow Road this weekend. Norwich welcoming Middlesbrough. The Canaries lost on opening day, but then they beat Watford in the Cup before a 2-1 success at Pompey last weekend. Remember last season, Clarkie, we had Chris Gorham, BBC Radio Norfolk Norwich commentator, on saying that he was quite pleased they weren't in the mix for promotion last term because they were nowhere near ready for it. Obviously, Manning got to the playoffs last season. Are they more equipped this time? And how much of that is going to depend on whether Josh Sargent is still there in a couple of weeks' time?
Yeah, I think that is a big crossroads moment for Norwich's prospects this season, because he's such a poacher. Obviously, he's 2 goals this season. One was where he closed down the goalie and it hits him and it goes in, but he still has to do that. This one was a sort of close range finish from a flick on against Portsmouth at the weekend. I think it was a long throw, flicked on by Cordoba, and there he was to sort of poach it. But that's what they'll lose, you know, that natural goal scorer. So if he goes, so I really hope he stays for their sake. I think it's a case at the moment of Liam Manning just getting to know his team and his new players. He's obviously signed a lot of quality players this summer, and he's sort of blooding them in gently. There's a focus at the moment in this system. If it's a new system, isn't it? 3-4-2-1. I think there's a focus at the moment for Manning on resilience and keeping the shape strong and just doing the basics properly, and by and large they're doing that all right. Obviously they lost at home to Millwall, which was a shame, but by and large they're doing that pretty well. The free-flowing football hasn't really took off yet, so to speak, so I think there's a lot more to come for them. They've had to do a lot of kind of defending. I think the 3 centre halves have made a lot of clearances between them. They're averaging, Norwich, 46 clearances a match, which is a lot, which means they're obviously soaking up a little bit of pressure. I just think they'll get better on the ball as they move on. Looks like the goalie's good. Kovacevic saved a pen against Borough, getting some quite good reviews. I think the new left back who played the weekend, Diallo, looks decent. Topic, very good at sort of picking up loose balls, recovering possession and keeping things ticking over. So yeah, it's a getting to know your face at the moment for Norwich, rather than that sort of beautiful football that I know the fans there want to see. Against Borough, and Sam will talk about them, a team that haven't let one in yet, have they, in the league. I think this could be a tight sort of cagey game, and both teams might mirror one another with their systems and shapes, which could definitely mean that it's a close, low scoring affair. Let's see.
All right, so Clarkie predicting a tight, cagey game. None of us predicted that Borough were going to win 3-0 at Millwall last weekend. That was on our predictions. We'll come to this week's later, but we were all miles off with that, and pretty much all of them, to be fair. As Clarkie says, 2-for-2, yet to concede a goal in the league. So let's gloss over the 4-0 defeat by Doncaster in the League Cup. Here's a stat for you, Sam. First time since 94-95 they won their opening 2 league games.
That's bad, isn't it?
That is absolutely abysmal.
Sums up last season quite well, doesn't it? The inconsistencies.
Yeah,
it's a funny old game. We know that. And I'm sure 3 weeks ago I was reading a lot of discourse on Middlesbrough sites and blogs about the pre-season and about the new manager, so on and so forth. It's amazing what 2 games can do. They had a wretched pre-season in terms of results, performances. It looked like there was going to be questions asked very early, but what a start to the season. And listen, it flattered them 3-0 at Millwall. They should have had a goal, maybe two, at the home side. But I think it was a really clever change at half-time that swung it in Borough's favour. Hansen coming on, he's a new sign-in.
Yeah.
Kante and the team as a whole in the first half just invited that Millwall press, and they got caught out a few times around their own box, and he dropped Hackney, Rob Edwards, back into the central berth, bit deeper, and Hansen went as one of the four support players, and that changed it in their favour. So we'll wait and see if Hansen gets a go from the off. And again, I spoke to someone from the local website, the local paper, the other day, and just said Rob Edwards hitting the right notes in terms of the way he's conducting himself.
Of course he is.
Maybe no surprise, yeah. But I think the fans became a little bit unhappy last year with Carrick, the way he conducted himself maybe and kept things to himself and wasn't obviously open maybe with supporters, so on and so forth. And obviously defensively, I think it was an issue that they weren't particularly watertight. So to start with vast improvement defensively is a huge plus as well, to not to concede a goal. So I think when you look at these two teams and you think about them historically in the Championship, I would probably hedge my bets at a 3-2-2-2. But I'm probably with Clarkey here. Two systems that going to match each other up, the way Middlesbrough have started, and Liam Manning's tendency to, yeah, probably go for a structure slightly over hell for leather, if that's a phrase. So yeah, maybe a score draw here, but a low score.
Yeah, they've only had
1-1 basically, I'm saying.
1-0, yeah, 1-0, yeah. Borough have only had 9 shots inside the box. Derby, the other team with less. So they've not created loads. They've scored, obviously, I think with a third of the shots that weren't blocked, so been pretty ruthless, and so maybe not sustainable. An arrival, I don't know if you saw this, from City on loan, Sver Nypan. I don't know if that's how you pronounce his name.
I've got it written down, and I just looked at it, Clarky, and I thought, am I just going to say Nypan, or am I going to completely just bypass it because I'm not confident of saying
good company, because I've seen three people butcher that so far. You're the fourth, Clark.
Go on, you've been. What is it then?
Well, I don't know, idea. Even since they were... Rob Edwards pulled up a journo in the presser on Friday when they were talking about a speculation.
Could Nippon. Be Sverre, maybe.
Sverre Nippon. Anyway, he's a player that Arsenal were looking to sign, which tells you plenty, as does the fact that actually Man City did sign him for $12.5 million this summer. He's a player. He's a bit of a baller, I think. Can play as an 8 or a 10. This could be a very, very exciting loan addition for Middlesbrough. A lot of the what are they called the people that follow random teams. What's it called?
When you like or follow a random team.
You know, like they're a bit nerdy. What's it with the nerdy football fans? They're
like a groundhopper?
They're called not a groundhopper. Not a groundhopper. Sort of. that is a little bit nerdy. but no. Well, they're a bit alternative. What's the word?
Hipster.
Hipster's the word. We got there. The hipsters were raving about Nippon, or however you say his name, last season. They've been saying this kid is going to be a Premier League star. So look, let's see. I think it could be a really exciting addition.
All right, we shall see. Got there in there. Not many hipsters traditionally follow Stoke City, I don't think. They're going to Southampton, two of the early pace setters. One will have their stride checked on Saturday, unless it's a draw, in which both will, I suppose. We've already spoken a fair bit about Southampton, Clarkey. I mean, obviously they've come down, they've got a new manager, they're newsworthy. But I think it's worth mentioning this game, not just because of the opposition, but also they've had quite a tough start, haven't they? Because that Wrexham game had banana skin written all over it. And then they go to Ipswich, who obviously come down with them as well. So to get 4 points from those two with a lot of disruption to the squad and a new gaffer, that's not bad.
Bows really well, actually. Yeah, they didn't play well at Ipswich today. It was a pretty scrappy game, actually. Defending was really shaky, wasn't it? Kwashi, the new player, looked a bit wobbly. Harwood Bayliss, not great. The left wing back, not brilliant on the ball. Wellington, bad back header from Jack Stevens in the game as well. So yeah, they've got a bit of work to do. They might have found a place for Ryan Fraser in the team at right wing back. So he did well. And obviously they've got the young boy, Robinson, who popped up with a goal at Ipswich, who's only 18, decent left foot. So yeah, it's a bit of change. It's a lot of change. I think Mateus Fernandez, who played last time out, is wanted by West Ham. So he'll probably end up going. they'll get better. They'll get better. But yeah, I think they were, and they probably have to play better to beat Stoke, won't they? Who are absolutely flying at the moment. So yeah, they've got to sort out the defending a little bit, conceding too many chances. But yeah, we know they've got, it's a little bit, they've got the forward talent. A lot of them are on the bench at the moment. They've got the forward talent to score goals. But yeah, it's definitely feels like a work in progress for Will Steele. So to get 4 points from two tough games, that's not bad at all.
Yeah, bit clunky, hasn't it? Been, I think, the first two games. And there seems to be some suggestion that he favours a 4-3-3. And obviously he's going with a back three at the moment. And as Clarkey says, there was quite a lot of errors, wasn't there, in that, that Ipswich game. He's got Wood and, of course, Ronnie Edwards, who did so well at QPR last season, waiting in the wings, who have got a little bit more experience than the most recent recruit. So the team could change, I think, before this one. I think he's just working things out. They were a bit direct actually at Portman Road, and you've got Ross Stewart and Damien Downs, another new signing, who have obviously got better stature than Armstrong. It's an option to go with a bigger target man, and Armstrong can play off the side, which we saw to great effect probably over the last two or three seasons actually, when he comes in off the right and can get goals. So yeah, work in progress, but no shaming in 4 points from two really tricky games. And yeah, Stoke, who have had favourable fixtures in comparison. I'm not going to get too carried away, but I'm enjoying what I'm seeing from the front players. I'm enjoying what I'm seeing, of course, from the goalkeeper, who's outstanding and has been for so long. But Manhoff, Sorba Thomas, Mubama, all of them really in the groove at the moment. So if there is some deficiencies defensively for Southampton, their pace and directness could really expose that. So I am excited. I'm tainted with the burns of previous seasons, but yeah, hopefully this is going to be a season where the Stoke fans can actually, you know, witness a team having a go at getting in the higher echelons of the division.
We shall see. In League One, meanwhile, you see Classic. Those two were in a higher division last season. Fodder at Kenilworth Road, Luton welcoming Cardiff. Both won 1-0 on Tuesday. George Saville gave the Hatters victory at home to Wigan. Isaac Davis scored a stoppage time winner for the Bluebirds at Wimbledon. That, though, was soured by a serious-looking ankle injury to Ollie Tanner. Both of these two have started pretty well, Sam. I guess this will give us a nice barometer as to how far on they actually are in terms of development for the season.
Yeah, well, three clean sheets each, conceded three goals between them. So this is going to be in keeping with the midweek games, I would suggest, and very low scoring. And it's clear to me, having seen Luton on opening night and followed their last few outings, they are struggling creatively. No question. I think Milenic Ali is wherever he's deployed. I think he was left wing back last night.
He's played in about four positions already.
Mm. Yes, Pat. And he's a good player. And I kind of was frustrated on that opening night when he went to left wing back or wherever he finished, certainly deeper on the pitch, because you thought he's the spark in the forward positions, but he's the only spark at the moment. And he was withdrawn at Bradford because he picked up a silly early yellow. I heard the report on that. I think that's right. So they didn't have him for the entirety of that game. A really poor performance where Bradford, far and away, deserved the points. Last night, it looked like they shaded it. Cardiff had their... who did they beat last night? Help me out. Wigan. Yeah, it looked like they had their opportunities, but they play better in the second half, Luton. But that's where they're short. The Jerry Yates signing hasn't kick-started them in terms of goals, and he's looked a little bit short maybe in cohesion or fitness levels, whatever it may be. And it's echoed by the statistics. I mean, they've had 36 shots compared to Cardiff's 55. You know, there's not many open play goals between the two going in. XG 3.27. Yeah, very early days, but that's 20th in the table. So defensively, no qualms at all. Top goalkeeper they've brought in, obviously outstanding at Leyton Orient last season, and any combination of Lomvijk, Naismith, Anderson, McGuinness. I mean, that's far and away too strong for a League One defensive unit. So they're not going to ship many, but Matty Bloomfield needs to focus, and I'm sure he is, on improving the attacking output. But yeah, tight game. One goal wins this.
You concur, Adrian?
Yeah, I do, yeah. It's a weird situation for both clubs, because in the Championship, they didn't have much of the ball, yet in League One, they're having loads of the ball. Obviously, there's changes in manager. We know that Bloomfield was trying to become, you know, more comfortable in possession. You know, they're averaging a lot, over 60% of possession for Luton, which is new to them. So they've just got to get used to it. And it's a bit like that for Cardiff, but that's what Brian Barry Murphy was brought in to do anyway. You know, they've got a real ball playing goalkeeper now and centre halves. And yeah, it'd be interesting. I mean, Cardiff have been super solid as well. Only one goal conceded. Pretty good going when you got a teenager at the back, you know, centre half, young Dylan Lawler alongside Will Fish. So yeah, they're doing very well. Nice to see two brothers in the same midfield, isn't it? Joel and Ruben Colwill. Massively strong bench for Cardiff as well. In midweek, Callum Robinson, Chris Willock and Callum Chambers, as well as the goal scorer Isaac Davis, all on the bench. So, yeah, they might have nicked that one at Wimbledon, but you know, they've got plenty of firepower. The issue for me in the game, ahead of the game at Luton, is that they're not scoring goals away from home, not really having any shots away from home. Across the two games, Port Vale away, Wimbledon away, awkward games, but not two of the toughest, you'd say, in the division. They've had one shot on target in each game, Cardiff. So that's not great. At home, it's not been a problem. They've scored goals and they've looked pretty strong and fluent. So yeah, I'm with Sam here. This screams a sort of two goals or less type of game. Just a quick word, very quickly, on last Saturday when the game against Rotherham, he played a teenager called Dakarai Mafiko at left back because they had a bit of a left back crisis. And he's 18 and he had a bit of a stinker. It was going badly for him. And he's got a yellow card and he was on the verge of a red. It was just not going well, even though they won the game. And he got hooked after 35 minutes of his debut. And I felt, you know, on the face of it, that's an awful thing to happen. But the Cardiff fans absolutely cheered him off and were full of support for him. There's been no sort of slating. It's been very, very positive. And the manager, Barry Murphy, said, "This kid, you're going to absolutely love him. He's an elite central midfield talent that you are going to love. He's never played at left back until I've asked him to do it just of late. So, you know, don't be too hard on him." So I think great support around a young player who was sort of needed and it didn't go to plan, but the fans and the manager fully behind him. And yeah, I think that's really positive.
Just while Clark is revisiting that game, Rotherham, terrible start to the season, had one shot in that game. And I think they've got huge injury woes as well. I think there was as many as eight out for that game. So difficult couple of years now for Rotherham. They look to be faced with early questions, I suppose, about Matt Hampshire and his team.
Fleetwood versus Oldham in League Two. Is it a derby? Scratch that off your What the EFL Bingo card as well. Keep listening, see if you can get a full house. So Oldham drew 0-0 at Bristol Rovers. Fleetwood, as we say, lost 4-1 at Crewe midweek. If it was a derby, Sam, it'd be the Pete Wild derby, right? Former Oldham manager and supporter.
Pete Wild, who I had 20 minutes on the terrace at an Irish bar in Villamora with, Pete Wild. Have we done that story yet?
I think it's a nice use of the word terrace outside of a football context as well. Yeah.
I think I threatened this on the WhatsApp, but we actually haven't even gone there. What a delightful man. What a lovely yeah. man. Yeah, just tremendous. You know, amongst all the mayhem, we just stood there and talked football. And talk Fleetwood and talk the season. And he's an Oldham fan, as we know, from when he had the gig there. And I happened to be with a former Oldham midfield player, Mark Hughes, a mate of mine. And I believe there was another who I've forgotten, but there was another part of Oldham glitterati in
Matt Ritchie. Must be Matt Ritchie, right? Ian Marshall.
It wasn't Ian Marshall. It wasn't Earl Barrett. It wasn't the blonde goalkeeper whose name I've forgotten. Oh. It wasn't. Yeah. Wasn't
Matt Dalla.
It wasn't Matt Jackson. It'll come to me in a minute, but I'll leave it for now. I'll leave it for now.
Did the terrace have Astro?
I'll leave it for now and I'll revisit. It was Dean Holden. There you go.
It was Dean. Former guest on this podcast, nonetheless.
Bloody Holden. There it was. So there you go. I was surrounded by Latics and we had a lovely chat. And, Yeah, he spent a lot of time speaking to the Oldham lad. So obviously, this is a really, really big day for him. Huge day for him, because I'd imagine friends, family, they're all probably Latic supporters. So, yeah, and
in terms of the opposition, basically just replay what I just said about Luton. Goals, creativity, very much in short supply. Two goals in the league for Oldham so far, one in open play, one set piece, desperately short of forward options, need a striker. Obviously, I've been scouring the XG table. Bristol Rovers are the worst for XG underperformance, but Oldham have scored two from an XG of 5.08. So they are not finishing their chances. They need probably, even at this early stage, some upgrades on what they've got. That said, there's obviously been recruitment in terms of Mickey Mellon going back to his, one of his former clubs, Tranmere. You've got Hawks and you've got Morris. You've got Caprice, who was there last season, to come back in. You've got Tom Pett, who's been a good player, League Two level. And Kai Payne, a central midfield player that they had from Wigan last season. So there is, I think, strength to come back in, but it's clear that it's going to be a struggle, I think, at this early stage. For Oldham, not a good start to the season. Decent point at Bristol Rovers in the week, but absolutely, they could probably do with James Norwood, who will be in the opposition's squad at the weekend.
Yeah, he might play. Obviously, on the back of a 4-1, he might make changes. Yeah, I would probably fancy Fleetwood here. I don't think they're as bad as that 4-1 loss at Crewe suggests at all. They've been scoring goals this season. Obviously, Will Davis, we've spoken about him before, got to a good start. I think they've scored in all the games so far. So, yeah, up against a sort of shot shy Oldham, maybe this is the one for them. But they are a bit open. There was a couple of mistakes from the keeper, Jay Lynch, in midweek against Crewe. One is sort of squirmed under him. The other one, he came out of his box when he shouldn't have. So not a good night for Jay Lynch. But no keeper in the division has had to make more saves than Jay Lynch at Fleetwood so far this season. So obviously they need to sort of be a bit more compact, Fleetwood, moving forward.
Predictions then. Last week we all got 1 point and it all came thanks to Barrow beating Notts County. Didn't get anywhere near anything else. So
yeah, 10-5-2
to extend things here and for me to tour it back, because I'm nearly out of contention already if it's 10-5-2. Charlton Leicester, Adrian, what are you saying?
Tight game. Leicester needs something after the disaster of losing at Preston. Charlton hard to beat, but don't score many. Charlton 0, Leicester 1.
Sam?
My first stinks of it of the season, but I'm not going to go stinks of 1-0 Charlton. Stinks of it, but I'm going to go 1-1. Okay, they need something, the Foxes.
All right, I'm going to say 1-0 to Charlton. Plymouth versus Blackpool. I think more misery for Tom Cleverley here. I'm going to say 0-1 to Blackpool. What about you, Adrian?
No, this is where they get going. This is where they get their season going. Blackpool letting in too many goals, man. Don't know what's going on. I think Plymouth get the win, but both teams score. Plymouth 2, Blackpool 1.
Sam?
Yeah, that's a scribble for me. I had the Desmond as well. What am I going to do? 2-1 Argyle.
You said 2-1 Argyle.
That's what Adrian went for.
I thought you said Desmond.
No, Desmond. No, so you can have the 2-2.
Sorry, I've got a child who has just left to go to the park with one of my friends and he hasn't got a jumper on. I just received the text. So they've reverted back to the home. And I'm a little bit in tray as cost to where our children are today.
So you can have the 2-2, mate. Yeah, all good.
Right, last of all, Crawley v Tranmere. I have absolutely no idea, so I'm probably just going to ape what you two are saying. Sam?
1-0 Crawley.
Okay, right, creepy. Adrian?
1-0.
Okay, all right, you're not giving me much to work with here, boys. I will go for, let's go for 0-0. I like a 0-0 every so often. We'll see how we get on with those next week. Before we go, let me remind you, our partners, Quinbet, have a new offer. You can now get 50% back up to £25. If your account has sportsbook losses at the end of your first day's betting, Quinbet will refund 50% of your losses as a free bet up to £25, minimum 3 bets. Even if your account is up, you're guaranteed a £5 free bet, provided you place at least one bet of £10 or greater at the minimum odds. T's and C's apply. It's 18 plus for new UK customers only. Visit gamblerware.org for information on responsible gambling. You can find us on X at EFL What. They keep across that because we might have some special offers from our partners, Quinbet. Give us a 5-star review, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your pods as well. That would help us grow the show. Speaking of X, our tweet of the week comes from Barrows Admin. So somebody called Paul Lighty had replied to their tweet of the manager, the aforementioned Pete Wild, doing some fist pumps in front of the fans saying, OMG, that is so embarrassing. To which admin replied, this you, with that emoji where somebody's got a monocle on, hashtag we are Barrow. And then an image of Carlisle having drawn 3-3 at home to Boreham Woods. I mean, that is, it's sauce, Sam. Is it going a little bit too far? I quite like it, to be honest.
I'm a little bit lost as the build-up to this.
Vaguely, you're in the National League, we're in League Two. Why would you criticise our manager celebrating a win?
Okay. It's petty, and I think there's been previous on social media between these two outfits, so keep it rumbling on. Well, I say different divisions, but why not? There's not too many teams, is there, in that vicinity, so keep hold of it. Keep the needle, and when you clash back in League Two, I'm sure in a season to come soon, we'll all relish it.
You have any, Adrian? I think it's quite funny. A lot of people piling on Paul on the replies.
It's childish, isn't it? It's really childish. But then again, most admins are pretty young. You know, they're young sort of rookie journos that have been given the keys to these social media accounts. So, yeah, I'm with Sam, actually. It's good to build up the narrative, build up this rivalry, because outside of Cumbria, yeah, we don't really care that much about Carlisle and Barrow's sort of hatred for each other. So it's good to be enlightened every now and again.
It's Andy Wing, not Pete Wild, isn't it? That's what threw me. That's what did me, Matt. Yeah.
You're
too Pete Wild heavy on the anecdote of us quaffing pina coladas.
I'm a wild one, and I'm not going to criticise admin anymore when I can't get that basic stuff right. All right, I'll go and think about what I've done. Do forgive me if you can. We'll be back next week. Thank you, by the way, for keeping faith with us while we're moving around the days and the lineups and what have you. We are battling with some other days, but they are nearly over. So we'll be back in our regular Monday slot for the majority of the season. We appreciate your support. And if you would like to leave us a nice review or just give us 5 stars, it really does help us grow the show. And we appreciate that as well. That'll do for this week, though. Thank you and goodbye.